Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
It's Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means? You've chosen us to hang out with you to keep rolling through this work week, getting it kick-started, drop-kicked the way that it should be. And for that, we thank you. Thank you for choosing us to hang out with you. It's a good time. If you're new here, me and Kyle like to talk a little bit. If you want to get to the crux of the show, you're just going to have to fast forward 5 minutes-ish, 6 minutes-ish, and you'll get to it. If you want to listen to us talk, feel free to hang out. Welcome. Welcome to the cult. If you're not new here, welcome back, weirdo. We're glad to see you again. You know how we do things. We got to get through the business, and then we'll get to the business. So that being said, check us out on all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. You'll find us there. Come join the community. Be part of the cult. It's an exquisite time. It's a good time to be had by all.
It's a big word.
Yeah. I've been studying.
Getting words. Fancy.
Been doing a little book learning.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. If you have a paranormal encounter experience you'd like to share with us in the cult, Kyle's got some info for you.
I do. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. That easy. Every single time. Write your story out. Shoot it over to the email. We patent, file it. All that shit. Then we air it. And then you're rich. And you're famous. You're probably going to get to hang out with famous people. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Oh, and it's in the show notes. I guess I did have something else to tell you.
Yeah. Or if you want to come on the show and talk about it.
There's we can that set too. That up.
Our schedules should be lining up better at the beginning of the year. My schedule might be changing up. Hopefully, fingers crossed, everything works out. Should be freeing up a lot of time for us to focus on the show, focus on different avenues of the show. Should be great. If you'd like to support the show, plenty of ways you can do it. We got a Patreon. Go over there. $7 a month. Extra shows, early shows, ad-free shows. We're thinking about revamping that again here in the future. So keep an eye on that. We got some ideas, some plans to roll through that. So that's going to be exciting. Keep an eye on all the Patreon members. Keep an eye on it. People that are interested in Patreon, keep an eye on it. Go over to hollowskypodcast.com. We got a store over there. Got some shirts, some stickers, some beanies. I don't know if there's any hats left.
There's not. They're sold
out.
Hats are gone.
Which,
there's a couple stocking caps, old school stocking caps.
Yeah, we did good on the hats. We'll be looking into getting some new merch popped up there. Yeah, stickers and stuff over there too. Best thing you do, share the show word of mouth. Find other shows you listen to that are weird. Throw our name in there. See if we can't get our schedules to link up and get together, talk about some weird stuff. Just keep sharing the show. Share it on socials. Share it to your friends. Share it to your enemies. We don't care. We don't discriminate. Just send it. Another thing you can do is go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review, or leave them on our socials and I'll try my best to find it and I'll shout you out. This week's 5-star 100% rating comes to us from Facebook and our friend Richard. Richard says, "The Hollow Sky Podcast is the most down-to-earth podcast you can listen to. When I want to listen to all things paranormal with commentary that's worthy of its own Comedy Central special, this is my go-to. Keep up the amazing work, guys." Well, Richard, first off, thank you for the kind words on the Facebook. We appreciate you. And we're glad that you get some humor from our humor.
Yeah. It's good to know that Steve and I are still the baddest motherfuckers in the game.
Yeah. Just is what it is.
Yeah. And anybody that wants to dispute it, you can try.
You can get it.
But you fail.
You can get it. You gotta come. Come and get it.
I don't think anybody can outdo Steve and I. Sorry. Oh.
It's time for us to still be humble, but to our fans. Not to anyone else.
Steve and I are simply complex individuals.
Very simple.
Figure that out.
Simply complex. Yeah. Yeah. But Richard, thanks for the kind words.
It's first love.
That was from a while ago. I hope he's still hanging out with us. That was from 2022.
Of course he is.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a null question. Why'd I even ask that?
Ignorant.
Yeah.
Ignorant.
My book learning's not paying off. Anyway, we appreciate you, Richard. That being said, the final way you can support us is by supporting our wonderful sponsors, who you are going to hear from probably right now. Hey, Holocult. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges. From sleepless nights to stress-filled days, Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. They'll deliver them discreetly to your front doorstep. And you can get them 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code HOLO. Having trouble sleeping? They've got a gummy for that. Sleepy Time gummies knock you out in about 15 minutes. They leave you feeling refreshed, and they don't leave you with a feeling of grogginess or hangover. Having just one of those days where just everybody sucks and everything is going wrong, you just need to reset your mood and your day as a whole. They've got gummy for that too. Epic Euphoria gummies. Just reset your mood and turn your frown upside down. What makes these different is how they've paired THC with other cannabinoids, with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for literally everything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, Holocult listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code HOLO at checkout to save 20% on your first order. Hey, Holocult. If you're someone who likes your nicotine discreet, fast, and with enough flavor options to rival a candy aisle, listen up. Do we have some news for you? We're partnering with Free Pouches, and they just might be the most convenient upgrade your daily routine didn't know it needed. Free is a zero-tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want a simple, hassle-free way to enjoy nicotine, without smoke, vapor, or the smell. Everything about Free is engineered for ease. Fast flavor, fast effect, and fast delivery straight to your door. Free gives you a wide variety of options, from everything like strength range, offering pouches in 3, 6, 9, 12, and 15 milligrams, also in 6 distinct flavors, mint, wintergreen, lush, sweet, original, and new watermelon. Pouches come pre-primed, so flavor and effect hit instantly. No waiting around, no guessing. You might like a little suspense in your podcast, but you don't have to have them in your pouches. Just so you don't sleep on the best value pouches in the market, our listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com with the promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch, freepouch.com, and use promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. Free, strength you can count on. And just like that, we are back. Welcome back to the show, to the crux of the show. Kyle has got some disclosure right here.
Whoa, I do.
Like an age of disclosure.
It is. It is the age of disclosure.
He's going to
I am going to disclose some stuff. I paid the price to watch it. I did.
You got to give it to Kyle. Putting boots on the ground.
Yeah, I did what I did what I had to do.
Doing his due diligence.
For the Holocult. Spent that money.
Priming on Amazon.
That's what I do.
Watching this, we ain't gotta.
So yeah, it's gonna be a little cynical. It's interesting. We'll start off with that, but
interestingly cynical.
Yeah. So, as you have guessed by now, we're getting into the documentary about the UFOs and all the amazing disclosure that came with it.
Adequately called Age of Disclosure.
Yeah, it's a clever name. It really was.
Love it. Loving it.
Yeah. So, as I'm sure most of you know, it's supposed to be full of government officials letting out, disclosing the information that they have acquired through their government jobs. Of course, the information that they're speaking about in this video is, you know, what they're being allowed to speak on, which always has a little bit of rough edges with me and Steve. You know, we kind of feel iffy about that statement. It's always a weird one, right?
Yeah, I'm in the camp where, like, if you're going to disclose something, disclose it.
Yeah.
If you're only going to, like, talk in circles around it, you're not disclosing shit. If there's a whole bunch of stuff that you can't tell us, that's not disclosing anything.
It's telling us that you can't actually disclose it.
Yeah, that's the opposite of disclosure. That's closure.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
Kind of is.
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
And it's like the documentary starts off with such a good little bang. It gets you excited, right? Because you got all these different people.
The hook.
Yeah, all these different people within the government, and they all, like, literally all of them basically come out and say, we are not alone in the universe.
Which we already
It's exciting. Know. We do already know this, but it's exciting. And then I kind of drop off almost immediately after that because the star of the documentary comes forward, and it's Lou Elizondo. And I'm on the fence with him. That's me personally. I'm sure there's a lot of you that love him. I'm on the fence about him. And it was even more disheartening because he, like I said, he becomes the main character of the show. I actually would have loved to hear more from the scientist, like Hal Putoff and some of these other guys. They were so fascinating to listen to. Right?
I feel like with Lou, at this point in the game, anything that he can talk about, he has talked about.
Yeah.
The bro's been on every single podcast ever known to man ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can't tell me he saved shit for this documentary that he didn't speak on Rogan.
He didn't. I can tell you that right now. He didn't.
It feels like a cash grab.
Yeah. And quickly within the documentary, they come to the conclusion this is, you know, UFOs are a national security risk, therefore instantly locking the door on all information, which we already know and we've been dealing with for the past umpteen dozen years. They also state that these things have been doing whatever they want since at least the 1940s, which everyone is already aware of. Also, they run smoke screens for years, allowing humanity to scrutinize anyone who comes forward with information or encounters with these otherworldly crafts, which once again, we know.
Nothing new for anyone that's even on surface level of ufology or interested in the phenomena.
Yeah.
Like that's all starter knowledge.
Yeah. You can tell a lot of these people are noobs.
I wonder,
like, a lot of the government officials were noobs.
Was this like, I don't know what the purpose of this was. Was this like a push to get people outside of the phenomena interested in disclosure?
I think that's the initial cause of this documentary.
Because
and it's also infuriating because you listen on Rogan and the Dan Farah, I believe, is the guy that created the documentary. He was just like, oh, there's fucking crazy ass information in the documentary and this, that, and the other. And it just kind of like incentivizes you to watch it. Like, oh shit, there's going to be a crazy bombshell. And for me, there were a couple bombshells. However, I don't think they're the same bombshells that he's referring to or anyone would, you know, initially think of when you hear that.
Yeah, because if
they're more so bombshells for me in my way of thinking than anything.
You would think that if it was like their way to get Johnny Q public to open their eyes about disclosure, they would have promoted it heavier. Because you didn't really see it all that many places. You know, you had to be, like, I would get ads for it on YouTube, I think, but you already had to be, like, in that paranormal algorithm.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, they were, if they were to be asked, I think they would say that the legacy programs and the shadow government have essentially shadow banned them. And that's genuinely what I think they would say.
It's very, very with the narrative.
Yep, absolutely.
Anyway, absolutely. I didn't mean to take us so far off course there.
No.
People be bitching about it.
It's all kind of part of it. They go through some of the common encounters we know, like the Tic Tac, and when the UFOs were interrupting training exercises and almost colliding with craft, which I know Steve and I have talked about. But it is confirmed by two individuals that they did, in fact, and this is kind of really awesome timing, they did, in fact, turn off and on nuclear missiles in Russia and the United States. That is confirmed. It absolutely happened.
Which, again, so like,
that's cool.
Which we'd heard about. Like, in
absolutely.
People in ufology would have known that, but having that confirmed and put out to the public is...
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because there was always, like, when, especially when it came to the disarming and arming of the nuclear warheads, there was always a really hard camp on either side. Some people were like, this is all just bullshit story. And other people were like, no, it 100% happened. And so I was always kind of confused on which actually took place. And we did do the episode, and I found a bunch of information that did suggest that it did happen. However, like I said, there's been a really large number of people who said this is all fake. This is bullshit. It never happened. They did not arm our nuclear warheads.
It's interesting.
And I could understand why people, governments would not want that knowledge to get out.
Makes us seem weak. Makes us seem absolutely. Our whole system is easily manipulated.
Absolutely.
And a lot of it, like, we hear a lot about them shutting them down. Like, they're protecting us from nuclear war. You know, they're saving us from ourselves. But if they also confirm that they're arming them.
Yes.
That changes the landscape a little bit there.
And, you know, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, the time in which they armed these nuclear warheads and whom the nuclear warheads were aimed at. They did it during the Cold War, and they fucked with Russia's and ours.
The two people pointing them at one another.
They were pointed at one another. So there's that. And okay. I'm glad you kind of see that angle, because we'll get into that a little bit later.
Very manipulative, these NHI.
Yeah. It was also funny to me to sit and listen to, and this is me being cynical. I'm 100% going to acknowledge that. And I want to go ahead and state that the documentary was well done. I really enjoyed the way that it was set up. I really, really enjoyed listening to the scientists speak. For me, they were the most fascinating part of it. I didn't give a fuck about the Congress people, the Senate people, the guys working in ATIP or the UAP. I didn't fucking care about any of them. The scientists were where it's at.
I feel like
the information they put out was honest, genuine, factual. They were the ones that I believe the most among everyone.
Yeah, because you already know you're not going to be able to believe your senators and your congressmen and shit.
Fuck no.
You have a inkling of hope that you can trust the scientists.
I believed them 100%. The way they talked, they just did a typical, they're older gentlemen, and they were just very like, here it is. Yeah. You know, just lay it out. They didn't give a shit. They just said it. I don't know. It felt right, you know, but I find it funny that these guys kind of, especially the guys in the ATIP programs, and the senators and stuff, they start crying about things. And like I said, I'm being cynical, but it's hilarious how they are essentially, you know, like Lou is the only one trying to do anything about these UFOs, trying to track them, you know, expose it, et cetera, et cetera. However, we know for a fact, a few things here. We know that government agencies have been following these things forever. The people who think they are privileged just weren't, you know, they just weren't. They weren't brought into the loop due to the simple fact that the people looking at these knew that they didn't have to bring those people into the loop. So, it was, you know, the senators and stuff are fucking irrelevant. Also, I love a good underdog. And the point that I'm making is that normal, everyday people have been out there for decades trying to expose this. Lou is not the only motherfucker out there trying to do these things. We know there are everyday people out there with full-time jobs, and I'm not even talking about Steve and I, but there are people out there, boots on the ground, investigating shit. There are people out there writing FOIA acts, trying to get information. Lou is not the only motherfucker on the planet trying to do this.
And I feel like he has infinitely more resources.
100%. Dude's ex-military.
Than most people out here digging through files, digging through old books, you know, requesting or putting out FOIA requests and like really, really digging, you know, for him to be like, I'm trying my best. Well, you kind of have, you should be the spearhead of this motherfucker. You should be the one to break it because you have all the tools in your arsenal to get the information that everybody else is just struggling to sift through.
Yeah. And so I don't know, I guess it just kind of rubbed me wrong to just kind of hear how they're undermining all the normal people out there who have been steady trying, steady investigating. And I know normal everyday people out there have paid the price for this as well. There have been people who have died doing this, you know, researching it and trying to expose the truth. What's even crazier is that all the things that these people have shined a light on, and I mean the normies, everything that has been talked about from normal people forever now, most of that has been right. Most of that has now been in your congressional hearings. Like literally everything they talk about is shit that has already been talked about for decades. But now they're wanting to come out and say this is disclosure. No, it's not. People have already known that. People have already known that. And I get it. I get it. Like I said, I know that I'm openly being cynical here. Because I just feel like with the amount of hierarchy they had in this documentary, it should have been better.
Yeah, especially the way they were pushing it.
Yeah.
Like this is going to disclose what the phenomena is.
And I guess I just expected more. I just expected more bombshells. I expected just something that we haven't heard before that people haven't already found. And it wasn't that. Outside of a couple things, there were a couple things in there that caught my attention. It's also nuts to me that these guys like Lou and his associates were going around asking questions and trying to get something together to look into these things. And you have people in upper management, so to speak, that, and it fucking fits the current narrative. They were afraid. This is the excuse that was given. So Lou and everybody's digging around Washington and the Pentagon and the agencies about UFOs. A lot of people came forward saying, we are not going to touch this shit because they're demons. We're just going to leave them alone. You're doing the devil's work here. We're out. And it's crazy. It's crazy to me. You have a group of people that believe in religion and demons. And at that point, even if they believe that it was demons, you have the ability to prove that. and you decide not to, you say, we're just going to leave it alone.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. That's crazy to me.
That's still a narrative that's being pushed hard.
It really is.
In like,
and we heard that heavy from the Collins Elite. That was a big part of the Collins Elite. And yeah. I believe that this section was from years ago. It was before the UFO phenomena started to really jet off these past couple of years. This is, you know, prior, as probably 2017, somewhere around there. But there were high up officials, upper management and government that were like, nope, they're demons. We're not fucking with it. We're not even going to touch it. Which is crazy. It's crazy because there's so many fronts to that. Are you as a government official saying demons are real and that we shouldn't fuck with them because you know something? Or is this your superstition? Is this your religious beliefs?
Yeah, because you hear like...
What is this?
Representative Luna was talking about them possibly being demons, and was it J.D. Vance in an interview was talking about them maybe being demons? Like
Tucker Carlson.
Like, what the fuck?
What's crazy is there was a slight little left hook in there, and I'd be curious if anybody else caught it. There was one line in there that was crazy to me, and so they're going through. I want to see what you think about it, Steve. I'm not going to give you my opinion, but they're going through explaining things about essentially the proof of extraterrestrials and shit. And it literally, they just go, the Vatican has irrevocable or 100% proof of the existence of whatever word they use, NHIs, whatever it was. And then they instantly moved on.
The Vatican has proof?
Yep. That's literally all it said. They said something to the effect of like, the Vatican has 100% proof of the existence of NHIs or whatever word they used. And then it just cutscene dropped it right there like it was hot.
That's weird.
Nothing else was said. Nothing. That's literally like the only fucking line in regards to the Vatican. The whole fucking documentary, 2 hours long. There was one single line. They cut, boom, off to a different subject.
That's weird.
Fucking weird, right?
It's almost like they're low-key trying to push that narrative. Because why else would you bring the Vatican into it? If it has nothing to do with religion, why the fuck would you even say that?
I don't know, dog. It was fucking weird, though. Especially, it was just weird. They slid that like little jab in there, and then they just...
Oh. Especially if they're rolling off... If they're rolling off of the narrative that, oh, people don't want to touch this in Washington because they're demons, and then you hit it, you know, you come back around with the Vatican knows what they are. Well, what the fuck does the Vatican deal with? Demons.
It's weird. It was just weird. It was just a weird little hook that they slid in there.
Oh God, I want to watch it now because now I feel like it's trying to push that.
It was strange, dude. It was strange.
Weird.
And then they bring up the legacy programs, and you know, the legacy program is essentially a super secret program that consists of several different entities. And they said that no one knew about the legacy program for a long time, but it had been steady retrieving bodies and crafts and also working on reverse engineering. Another rather humorous take is hearing all these men in the ATIP say things like, think about this. You have a legacy program that has over 80 years of information and they refuse to give it to us. And just everybody listen and let that sink in. I mean, how do you think the rest of the world feels?
Yeah, we're waiting on you to disclose it to us.
It was just, to me, it's just like this high level of irony when you have these privileged men who are like you said, Steve, they have so many resources, so much. They already know the secrets. They just can't outright say them. And they're like, man, they would just give us this information.
Yeah.
We could do so much.
We could disclose it. Like on a documentary called Age of Disclosure.
Yeah. And like in my head, I'm just like, how the fuck do you think the rest of us feel?
Yeah.
What are you doing? There was some interesting information that I absolutely loved. They talk about how these UFOs have been clocked at going 40,000 miles per hour or more.
That's insanity.
40,000.
I can't even fathom that.
No, not even close. And they talk about how they can start, stop, turn on a dime, all that stuff that UFOs can do. And you can put a human body or put a human body inside that, and well, it's essentially toast. It's not working. But an interesting bit of information that I hadn't thought about, because a lot of people run the theory that the UFOs that we see could be drones. Well, these scientists came out and they're like, nuh-uh. Drones wouldn't survive that either. They'd rip themselves apart. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that's interesting. Drones would rip themselves apart doing that shit.
I didn't think about that.
Fuck no, absolutely not.
About the confines of like our own physics on the materials that we use.
Yep. Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, there are subtle bombshells that do get dropped in the documentary, but it's not the ones that people would, because people go into it being like, they're gonna say fucking aliens are real, and you know, those are gonna be the bombshells. To me, these were the bombshells, these little nuggets of information, which to me highly allude to the fact that these scientists know about it. They know what's going on, and they're telling us without telling us is what they're doing.
The fact that, like, it almost makes me feel dumb for never questioning that before. You know, like the strain and the stress it puts on just the material that the craft, like if we were to create a craft from Earth, like the stress and the strain that it would take also performing those maneuvers, how I never like took that into consideration makes me feel really dumb.
Now, there are a couple of those in here for me as well.
Yeah.
Also, it was talked about how these things are not affected by our gravity. So not only do these things go in and out of the water without making a splash, but they can also sit inside hurricane force winds and not move. Just sit and take it like the hurricane didn't even exist. Which is crazy. You have scientists stating this information in the documentary. They literally sit and watch a UFO get pummeled by, I think it was like 140, 180 mile an hour winds, and it didn't budge. It just sat there.
That's
crazy. Like it just didn't give a fuck. They also get into biological effects that take place when interacting with UFOs. There was a Dr. Gary Nolan from Stanford University of Medicine. He was contacted by the CIA to look into these effects. He said he's seen burns and scars, even scarring on the inside of people's bodies and brains, which almost leads you to think of some type of electrocution, like raw power.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he's seen burns. Yeah, burns and then the scarring. But I think later on, they tell you why this happens, even though they don't really directly connect it in the documentary. There was some interesting information that Mike Flaherty, who is U.S. Navy and Air Force intelligence, said that this is fucking crazy. 25, and this is quote from the documentary, 25% of the population had a mortality rate within 7 years of having an interaction with UFOs. That was his direct words. I'm not sure exactly how that plans out, but I'll leave it there.
That's weird. That's also what...
So is he saying, because I'm confused on, because this was a quote. I wrote it down directly because I didn't, my brain doesn't process this. Is he saying 25% of the people who've had interactions with UFOs?
I think it would determine what an interaction with UFO is.
Because the way he worded it made it sound like 25% of our entire United States population has had a mortality rate within 7 years of interacting with UFOs. And I feel like that's a large number.
Yeah, I think it's just dealing with people that have interacted with UFOs. But I'm curious what that means. Is it somebody that saw a UFO? Is it somebody that touched a UFO?
Right.
Is it somebody who was abducted onto a UFO? Like, those are all technically interacting with UFOs.
Yeah.
So the context of what that means, interacting with a UFO, that's a pretty broad statement to make. It almost makes it sound like it's more sensationalized, you know?
Yeah.
Because like, if 100 people have touched a UFO and 25 of them die, that's a significant amount, but it's way different than having 25% of every person that's seen a UFO die.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of a sensationalized statement, but
it is.
Even regardless, if the 7-year mortality rate in interacting with UFOs is 25%, that's significant.
It is. And I think there's a reason why, which once again, we'll get into in a little bit.
I would like to know what he means by interacting.
I agree. I didn't think about that when I was watching it, but at the same time, I'm also kind of focused of trying to write.
Yeah, because that changes
the context. So I lose some of the nuances.
Of the statement.
Yeah. Then they bring up the possibility of the ocean and start leaning really hard on the idea that it could be that they've always been here and we're just now seeing them. They're coming forward, whatever.
Since the congressional hearings, they've really, really leaned toward the ocean, the ultra-terrestrials that they've been here all along.
I don't know that I like that. You know, people have talked about this idea for a long time. It's nothing new to us in the UFO world. But it also seems strange to me that we have an elite race of beings living on the planet, hiding under the water. And if we're to sit down and explore this thought, it would kind of go like this, you know, what would be the point of that? Why hide the entire time? And you could give me tons of suggestions as to why they would do that. And of course, this is based off humans, but intelligent beings are almost always incredibly curious. And then to assume that these would want nothing to do with us is weird. And yet they do, because we've recorded them forever now, even beyond 47. And then you take into consideration the abductions and the people that are experimented on. So this runs this big gambit in my brain of, like, I don't know that I believe this. Then not to mention, a lot of people, and I bring this up later, so hopefully I don't go back over it. If I do, I'm sorry. But then you have to look back at what me and Steve were talking about earlier, because a lot of people would say this. They would say, well, Steve, Kyle, they're starting to make them, they've made themselves known since we started fucking with the nuclear warheads. That's when all of this took off. Well, I disagree, because we've been encountering them forever. And then on top of that, so you're going to tell me that they're now worried because we have the ability of nuclear weapons. We have the ability of ruining the planet. However, there have also been ones who have armed our nuclear warheads during a Cold War situation that could have destroyed the fucking planet.
Ding, ding, ding.
So once again, my brain would go back to, okay, well, why haven't they come? You know, why haven't they come out of the water then? Like, why are they not more in our faces than they are?
Well, you know where I'm going with it. It's manipulation. They like to stay hidden because we like to believe in shit, right? Mm-hmm. So they could have been years and millennia lightly showing themselves. And we as humans are like, oh, that's a god, you know? This being that's coming out of the ocean or coming from the sky, this is a god. We should probably worship them. It's probably a pretty good ego boost to whatever entities out there, having all of us little hairless, you know, primates out here running around, building statues to them and starting religions for them and all this shit.
I do agree with that to an extent. And I think that anybody who's highly religious and is listening now going, no, that's nonsense, remove yourself from that. Act like there are people out there that have no basis in religion.
It's the great.
And they see something, a fiery chariot in the sky. They're 100% going to think that's a god without question.
Yeah. And it's the Wizard of Oz effect. It's the man behind the curtain, because if they expose themselves as, hey, you know, we share the planet with you, we're going to be like, okay, we're even game now. We both live here. Whereas opposed, if they keep themselves tucked away and they just show up here and there and get everybody all riled up and like, you know, like pop out from the sky. Like I said, people are going to be like, oh shit, this is wild. But if they're like, hey, we're your neighbors, we live under the ocean, eventually we're going to be like, okay, you know, we're pretty much on the same playing field here now. I think it's a manipulation thing. If that be the thing, and I know everybody's going to call me, like Kyle's been saying, cynical. I feel like I can see JJ rolling her eyes right now. Me talking about aliens being nefarious, but I think that's what it is. I think we're easily manipulated creatures. And I feel like you don't have to be that far advanced to figure that the fuck out.
I agree. But to me, it makes more sense that they would look at us like a fucking science experiment.
Yeah. I mean,
if that's why they're hanging out down there, you know, because at the end of the day, even the scientists in the documentary have suggested they're leaving us these crafts. They are.
Which would be 100% what a scientist does. You know, look at an ant farm. An ant farm, you put them somewhere and then you observe. Look at the way we do all of our scientific experiments. Like when we were studying gorillas, you hang back and you observe.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you put something out there and like put some sort of like stick or something to see if they'll use it as a tool. You just leave it. See if they learn.
Exactly. And that's direct, that's intervention in our evolution, so to speak. Like, they're putting obstacles to see, like I think it was Hal Puthoff. I think that's who it was. He was, you know, they were talking about crash retrieval programs, which I am kind of getting ahead of myself again, but they were talking about the crash retrieval programs. And he's like, you know, and people ask all the time, you know, if these things are so advanced, how are they just crashing? And he's like, well, I mean, we make really awesome cars and people still crash them. So there's that. But he's like, what if they're not just simply crashes? What if they're more like gifts? And the real question behind that is, are they gifting, so to speak, the same amount of technology across nations, or are they playing favoritism? Or is this more along the lines that their anticipated cause is one massive IQ test for humanity?
Yeah, dude, that opens so, just the way that you said he put that opens up so many avenues, you know, because it could, like, if they are playing favoritism, that could drive a whole new, yeah, you take a bunch of mice and you put them in the same cage and you feed one mouse cheese every day and you starve the rest of them.
And the other one cocaine.
and you starve the rest of them, they're going to start looking at the cheese mouse real from a real different light after about 3 or 4 days.
There's been documented cases of primates doing that.
Yeah.
Like where a primate got, I think it was a cake, and the other monkeys were fucking pissed.
Yeah. See, I didn't think about that, that they're playing favoritism.
And he didn't say that they were. He said the possibility of. Because he's like, I wonder what. And of course, they do allude to most likely the Air Force knows these answers. But of course, the Air Force is highly secretive of all that. But it is interesting to think about and contemplate. And I honestly didn't expect them to mention GIFs. Because I think the first time I heard that was in the Collins Elite. That they were leaving us UFOs as gifts. It's not something that I would have anticipated, to be quite honest.
It makes you wonder, like, how much
they're influencing humanity is what they're doing.
And how much credence the Collins Elite, like, how much factuality is in the Collins Elite?
I feel like they knew an awful fucking lot. At the time, they were heavily leaning on the idea of occultism and demonology. However, I would like to know if that has changed as time and information has moved forward with them.
It's interesting.
Because we still haven't gotten clarification from any source. To be blunt, no matter which way you lean on that subject, it's still all speculation.
Yeah, 100%.
There's no... You can swear up and down it's fucking angels or demons or aliens. It doesn't matter. I respect your camp. I do.
Not everything paranormal.
Steve and I have our own camps.
Yeah. Not everything paranormal is a fucking Nephilim.
No. I don't. No.
I'll just throw that out there.
No.
Take that information and do with it what you will.
Yeah. Yeah. So moving on. Once again, in the documentary, you're going to hear about the hidden hand and how it blocks the UAP program, and it just constantly creates roadblocks for them. Once again, I don't feel bad because that's everyday life for everyone. It's kind of how life works. You always have an opposing force that gets in your fucking way.
Which is lame.
Yeah, it is. But in this case, you know, how do you seem surprised? I mean, realistically, in their situation, in their shoes, how the fuck do you seem surprised that you have an unseen powerful force that is moving chess pieces behind your back because you're interfering with their mission and their money?
Yeah, they don't like that.
No. So I would say it's safe to assume resistance is to be expected.
Yeah, they don't like
it. You're lucky it's not the unfortunate kind of resistance.
Yeah. They don't like
where somehow you self-delete by four to the back of the head.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, and like I even wrote in here, this is Paranormal 101, ladies and gentlemen.
That's weird.
Moving on.
It's real strange.
Who is the Legacy Program? Apparently the Legacy Program consists of the CIA, the Air Force, defense contractors, and the Department of Energy. That's who the Legacy Program is.
CIA, which makes sense. I feel like they would be, I feel like it'd be deeper than that, though. This feels like a...
I'm sure it is.
Yeah,
I'm sure
it feels like the top layer of the Legacy
Program. I'm sure it is.
Because the Air Force makes sense because these things are obviously a lot in the air. That makes sense. Contractors, I could see running all the way up the chain.
Sure.
Yep. And what was the last one?
Department of Energy.
Which also kind of makes sense.
And the Department of Energy also helps them classify things. With like the, it had something to do with the nuclear aspect of it.
I would not, if I were to put a Legacy Program together, like what I thought was it, I wouldn't have had the Department of Energy in there, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Same. That one kind of got me too. Yeah. To be honest, and apparently the Air Force does a lot of the crash retrieval as well.
Makes sense.
They talk a little bit about how they know of several different races. I think it was 2 to 4. Like I said, they mentioned the gifts. Which, you know, that's where I got ahead of myself. They did. This is crazy. This is a nice one. And it's very short. They don't elaborate on these encounters. They're very like, here it is, moving forward. They talk about how the Russians were able to retrieve a tic-tac UFO with four humanoid beings in it. And to me, that's not the insane part. Here's the insane part. After they recovered the UFO and they began taking it apart, they were able to uncover a very advanced direct energy weapon.
Oh.
Yeah. So that changes the landscape, doesn't it?
Did they...
And I can't remember if they spoke on the year of this, but I'm going to assume that it wasn't in the recent years.
Did they... Okay, this has me a question, putting questions together here. When they discovered it, was it a weapon? Or did they develop the weapon from the technology they found?
They just said, after taking the UFO apart, they uncovered a very advanced directed energy weapon.
That's so scary.
Which regardless changes the landscape, because that is like, it's a good point. I didn't really think about that, Steve, but that alludes to UFOs being able to, of directed energy attacks
being armed,
which think about it. We've had some questionable DEW claims in the past several years.
It also,
now, whether that's from UFOs or governments having, because, you know, if the Russians found it, we've obviously recovered down craft. We have that technology too.
Yep. My question. And
you could also assume China is on the same playing field.
Yeah. And I guess, granted, if they are gifts, this could be included, but why put biological entities on the crafts you're just going to leave there? And why put
that one probably legitimately crashed?
Why put these high energy weapons, these direct energy weapons on there too? You're essentially like evening the playing field. If this is the weapons that you arm your crafts with, you give them to us to try to reverse engineer. Like,
somebody stirring the pot. Somebody stirring the pot.
It's weird.
Another kind of crazy story. They talked about how George Herbert Walker Bush, when he became the director of the CIA, he had no knowledge of the Legacy program. However, he later finds out about it and he starts asking questions. He was told that in 1964, there have been several crafts that have been retrieved since the 40s. And in 1964, at Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico, three UFOs approach the base and one lands. A non-human entity comes out of the craft and begins to interact with military and CIA officials. And if memory serves me correct, that is essentially a scene from the movie Men in Black. There's a scene just like that in that movie. And I would like to hear people chime in about that, because I'm almost positive. They also talk about how Roswell 100% happened. And they did, in fact, recover four bodies from that craft, which I do believe in the scene in Independence Day when they go down in Area 51. And they go to the freak show. I think it was the freak show. I think it was three containers of bodies, maybe four. Not quite sure.
Interesting.
They talked about retrieving bodies.
A little bit from Roswell. Soft disclosure there.
That's what I think. I 100% think it was that. Then they talk about how they sat down and talk about how. So after a lot of this comes to fruition, talking heads are like, hey, you know, we should probably, you know, tell the American people, right? And so they all sit down And they essentially create a pro and con list on if they should tell us, which of course we all know the conclusion to that. It's a big negative. We shouldn't tell them because people can't handle it, yeah, which is dog shit. Well, you know, we aren't going to tell people because we can't protect them from it, which would be a very typical
national answer. Security.
Yeah. So instead of scaring people, we're just going to ignore it. Or the classic, you know, this will disrupt humanity to unprecedented degrees and it is great chaos, which I don't fucking believe. You know, I hear what you're saying, but at the end of the day, it comes down, for me, it comes down to control. That's why they're not telling us. They want, because they are right to a degree. You know, if people know for a fact that these things can come in and fuck with their nuclear warheads, which means they could do untold amounts of things across the board. You know, it doesn't just mean they can fuck with their ICBMs and our nuclear warheads, all that shit. That means they can fuck with everything.
Yeah, it makes us look really bad.
Right. People are going to freak out that our government, mommy and daddy, can't protect us. I think that's what the majority of people would freak out about. However, that is a fucking part of life. Deal with it.
Yeah.
I just think that the mommy and daddy don't want to lose control over the kids. I think that's what it ultimately comes down to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's... I don't know, man. It's weird.
It is weird. Interesting story. Air Force security guy talked about seeing a supersized Walmart-sized craft that looked like a mini sun hovering over an ICBM silo. Like these were, and that's the story. Next one at Whiteman Air Force Base had one almost just like it. However, it was like an odd diamond shape. And it was all matte black at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. They have video of a UFO flying in, which I think people have seen. I think it's out there. There's a video of a dummy nuclear missile test, and it's flying through the air. UFO comes in, and it shoots a beam at the warhead on four sides of it and then flies away. They had another encounter at Vandenberg where people saw a UFO earlier that morning. They said it was red. It was a red square and was floating over the launch pad. Later that night, a massive football-sized UFO shows back up. This one came in with its lights on. As it got over the base, it went dark. It was like a matte black. And these guys witnessed this craft shoot off at thousands of miles per hour going up the coast. Malmstrom Air Force Base, there was a red-orange light. It was oval-shaped, about 40 feet. Every missile on the base, which was about 20 missiles, went down because of the UFOs. They said they were fucking up the guidance systems in the missiles. Something that kind of blows my mind is that the fact that the government has hidden things with contractors so FOIA can't reach them, which we know that. But what's mind-blowing about that is that, so say, me and Steve were talking about this earlier, but say I'm a defense contractor, Steve's a senator. Steve says, hey, in order to get around all this shit, Kyle, we're going to give you this UFO, start reverse engineering, that way we can avoid all these red flags, so on and so forth. I'm like, that's great. And then a couple years go by, Steve ends up retiring, moving to a different position, leave, whatever. He's gone. And we'll say Twiz comes in as the new senator. He has no fucking idea about me and Steve's original agreement. Therefore, Kyle is now in control of the UFO. I am the dude. And so, and they allude to this, in my opinion, they alluded this has happened, and that there have been, because they theorized, they're like, so let's say Kyle and his UFO as defense contractor starts coming up with all this new, these new innovations from the UFO, and they start pushing them out there to the public, you know, making money off of them. And because nobody knows that Kyle even has the UFO, well, him and his company are now proprietor to all of the benefits from that.
Making big
and
dollars.
I feel like that's a very specific example. And I 100% think that this has happened, and they are just trying to tell us without actually telling us.
Yeah. Making big dollar bills.
Huge. So from there, they talk about the power of these things. They speak about how one technology is everything. One technology is what allows these crafts to do everything. Because some people speculate that it's different technologies. And these scientists are like, we think it's possible that it's one. And what it is a time warp bubble around the craft, which allows the craft to move through everything with ease, allowing the ones inside to essentially feel nothing. Therefore, you could have bodies inside the craft. The craft is not going to get beat up, you know, material-wise. It's also the explanation as to why UFO pictures are generally blurry, because time is actually different inside this bubble. And this is what they talk, like, this isn't me theorizing. This is the scientist saying this. Interesting, though, they talk about how radar systems have a hard time tracking these things. And it's because the radar waves actually bend around this time distortion, right? And the reason why this part is interesting, because they stated how they have updated the sensors and cameras on fighters, and now they can actually see the power bubble around the craft, and they can better see structures inside, which tells me they knew exactly how to upgrade the sensors and cameras. Therefore, they knew this is what was taking place. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there's a lot of little nuggets in here that they subtly allude to.
Very interesting.
Wouldn't you agree, though, that that's like, because what are the odds that they just were like, hey, let's just upgrade these cameras and stuff. And then they were like, oh, shit, we can see the fucking, oh, wow, that's crazy.
Because they would, essentially they would have had to have found it, reverse engineered it to be able to see it, you know, to even think into that avenue, you know, that exactly. They distort time and space.
Exactly.
To be able to upgrade these. Like,
exactly.
Nobody's just going to come in and be like, you know what? I'm changing up the way our radars work just because.
Yeah.
You know, I just had an idea.
And it just so happened to expose all this.
To expose all the UFOs ever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of the idea. That's what I got when I watched it. I'm like, oh, so that's what you're telling us without telling us. That's exactly. What you're doing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You're telling us that we're dumb.
And so apparently, you know, going back to the biological effects it has on people, the burns, the scars, all that shit. Well, apparently, quote unquote, theoretically, these time warp bubbles would put off massive amounts of radiation, which explain so much in the UFO field. How many times have they gone to places after UFOs and found radiation in those areas?
Yep.
Also, according to Hal Puthoff, he explains, or he says that this is cool, Steve. This is cool. This is another trope in the UFO. Hal says that these time warp bubbles explain missing time, because the time inside the bubble is different than outside the bubble. So the people that are abducted and they're in these crafts and they think they're only gone for 5 minutes and they come back and it's 2 hours. Yes. That's why. Because the time inside that bubble is significantly different than outside the bubble.
Yes.
Which I hadn't thought about, but that's fucking awesome.
I hate that makes sense.
Yeah.
I hate that makes sense.
Yeah. It's a perfect explanation of missing time.
Yeah, because you'd be in the bubble for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. What you feel like is 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But in reality, you don't even know what the fuck reality is anymore.
Yep.
And
they're also saying how that also explains how some people see these little volleyball sized craft, but then get inside them and they're the size of fucking 6 football fields because that time displacement is so different. And I can't remember his name, but you know, I'm talking, you know, that redneck scientist that's on like Stardust or no, Skinwalker Ranch. And he had his own like science show there for a little while. You know what I'm talking about? He's like, yeah. He's very Southern scientist.
I can't think of his name.
Crazy smart. He said he was talking about the severity of that technology, of being the first ones to reverse engineer that technology, the time warp bubble, because it's a massive national security risk, because you could essentially have time warp bubbles the size of fucking baseballs and be hiding nuclear warheads in them and shooting them over to different countries and literally using those bubbles to go right through concrete, right through buildings, and then detonating those bombs.
Kind of like a wormhole.
Yeah. It's terrifying. Terrifying.
Which if you can figure out how to alter time and reality, essentially, because I mean it would alter our reality essentially, that opens the door to like time travel.
Yes,
it opens the door
to, oh, there was a senator talking about that, like being able to teleport, you know all types of stuff
that changes a lot, which also, if they are from space, that technology leads right into them being able to travel light years in no time.
That's what they're saying. Like that's, and they were trying to sell it at the end of the show. Like we need to do, like, because if we were to make this information public and everybody gets to work on it, so on and so forth, that is the evolutionary step of mankind. And now we'd be able to be interplanetary, intergalactic. We would be able to explore the stars like that.
It is interesting that they're taking both sides though. They're like, oh, we need this to be able to evolve, to be able to be interplanetary. But where they're also like, well, we don't need it because we could essentially sneak nukes into wherever we want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're playing like both sides of the
fence. And I mean, like me and buddy at work, we're talking about that. And I think about the positive sides of it, you know, like we could probably use that to extend people's lives. We could use the power as clean energy for the planet. Like there are so many positivities to that. And then you're going to have people that are like, well, yeah, we could create fucking death rays and blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, but if you always think like that, then no innovation would ever happen.
Yeah. Evil can manipulate all technology.
Dude, you could turn an oven into a fucking, an explodey device.
Do you just stop making technological advances because, well, this could happen?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And to be honest with that extent, if we were able to extend people's lives out to say maybe 170, 200 years, whatever the case may be, you would want us to be an interplanetary race.
Yeah.
You would not want us to be a solitary planet because we would overpopulate insanely fast.
Yeah, man, that opens up so many avenues.
It really does. And this could be revolutionary for everyone, but everybody has to remember that there are heavyweights at play, that this is fucking up their money.
Yeah.
And they're not going to let this go easily.
Yeah.
You know, and there will be negativity. You got to think, you know, think about the wars on our planet. Now you're going to multiply that tenfold, venturing out into the universe. Because if there are other species on other planets, some are going to be bad. It's just inevitable. Some are going to be good. But some are going to be bad.
Technology like that essentially affects every single financial market on the planet.
It It really does. Yeah. It really does. But it's just something we can do it. We just have to adapt to it. That's all it is. We can do it.
It almost feels like what it is. It almost feels like the legacy and the powers that be are trying. They're postponing this as much as possible, not because we can't handle it, but they're trying to figure out a way to where they can contain it. They can monetize it. They can keep 100% it on lockdown to benefit them.
I think that's
before they release it to the public.
I think that's dead on the money. It's just like them like not wanting to, the argument anyways of them not wanting to legalize marijuana because they can't patent it. Like they can't claim it because it's naturally grown. So they want to ban that and then create synthetic versions that they can profit off of, so on and so forth. You know what I mean? It's the same concept.
100%.
Same concept.
That's governmenting.
Yeah. And that's old money. That's old money, old control. That's all it comes down to. When most people don't give a fuck about it, they just want to live a decent life. That's all it is.
Billionaires got to keep being billionaires.
Exactly. Exactly. But we talk about the power of these things, dude. This is an estimation by the scientists. They said that one UFO estimatedly uses 1,100 billion watts of power, which is 100 times the daily power generation of the entire United States.
Fuck.
One UFO uses that much power.
Which we kind of heard that in Project Serpo.
Yeah.
Where these things had these cubes that were their energy source.
Yeah.
And they said they had more, they were able to power fucking cities for like years off right. these one cubes that they were using to man their UFOs and to do this and to do that. That's
the scientists theorized two scenarios. They didn't bring that up. They theorized two scenarios. They think that either they have mastered zero point energy, which I guess has something to do with the manipulation of the space time inside that bubble.
That's been a hot button phrase here lately, zero point energy.
Yeah. Or these UFOs are somehow drawing energy through quantum entanglement from a power source somewhere else in the universe.
Oh, I didn't think about that. That could make sense too.
Yeah. It's one of the, they think it's one or the other, but that was the one thing that I'm, to me, they didn't have like a good explanation on.
Yeah. That's physics beyond my comprehension. Like quantum entanglement, like atoms can't interact with one another anywhere, which is crazy.
Cool. It's cool. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
It is crazy, but I just like you tell me that and I'm like, that's cool.
You can harness that. You don't even have to have space travel. You don't have to have time travel because the atoms in 1885 on goddamn Jupiter could interact with the atoms over here in my mixer.
Yeah.
Which, what?
Yeah. And so the last little bombshell here, which I thought was it. I thought it was interesting and kind of crazy, even though, and I don't mean any disrespect. I take Lou with a grain of salt, but he was called one day and he was told that they had a meeting on the Hill in Washington. And they, in this meeting of 27 people, they were talking about offing Lou Elizondo and David Grush. And this individual told him they have done this before. They will do it again. If they deem even an American a threat, they will disappear them. It does happen.
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, we know, but it's just kind of crazy to hear that spoken officially, I guess.
It also leads you to believe that the information Lou and Grush has isn't all that important to them if they're still out here yapping about it.
Yeah. Also true.
Because if they
want... I'll be honest. Now that you point it that way, I don't think, and I once again, I mean zero disrespect. Please don't anybody take this the wrong way. I don't think Lou is a figure that the entirety of the UFO community, let alone America, would stand behind if he got clipped.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. It wouldn't be.
So that like that, it just furthers your point because that's not why they wouldn't do this.
No. My, like we said before, they have killed sitting presidents on live TV in front of millions and millions of people. If you think Lou is going to drop some bombshell that's going to change the capitalist landscape of the United States and the world, and also change the ethical landscape of the world, you think they're not going to take him out before he lets that spout?
Yeah. Yeah. And then in that, once again, I'm going to reiterate it. This is no disrespect, because if Steve and I got clipped, there would not be an army. I think there'd be a couple of you crazy fuckers out there that would try to do something.
It would have a very strongly worded email sent.
Yeah. But the point being is that they wouldn't be worried about the backlash from Steve and I being clipped.
I feel like where I'm kind of at is, I feel like guys like Lou, guys like Grush, guys like Corbell, they're respectively in the public arena, they probably are at the forefront of disclosure, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the information that they're disclosing is not as hot of information as they want us to believe it is.
No, because like I said, if anybody looks at any of the information, for the most part, that has been put out in the hearings or this or that, most of it's shit we already know.
Exactly.
Most of it's shit we already know. And I kind of came to a revelation over the weekend here in dealing with certain aspects that we won't get into. But I kind of came to the conclusion, and I just can't believe it was one of them things that made me feel stupid, kind of like Steve was saying earlier, that these individuals in our communities that openly speak about openly working with the FBI or the CIA or the Vatican or whomever, I feel like it's one of two things.
It's one thing.
You're either knowingly on the payroll, or you don't realize that you're on the payroll.
Yeah. You should be on the payroll. You're just too dumb to know that you're not.
Yeah.
100%.
And I think that if anybody really sits down and thinks about that, kind of like I did over the weekend, because it was just one of the moments I stumbled across these subjects and I read somebody's point and I got to thinking about it. And I'm like, oh shit, it's a really good point. I really do think that anybody who gets to openly work with these agencies are on the payroll, whether they know it or not.
Yep. Who is a better person to make a mouthpiece of the narrative you want to push? A person like us who use different channels, we dig through books, we do this, we do that, we do this, we do that, or a person that you have direct contact with, who you can feed the information you want out, who has a platform, who is probably on board with the narrative, whether they know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's too easy.
Yeah.
It's too easy. And
to be fair, like, think about it, Steve, like prior to us having this conversation, even rewind time to year two, year three. You can't tell me that you wouldn't be excited if, say, an FBI agent were to email us or text us and be like, hey,
let's talk.
I'm with the FBI. Let's talk.
Oh, 100%.
I would be fucking stoked.
Yeah.
And then if they became our unofficial informant,
we would be
blinded fast.
In the inn.
I think we would be blinded fast.
Oh, yeah.
At this point in our career, not so much. But I think at that point in our career, we would have been blinded.
100%.
And we would have done just about anything they said.
Yep. Everything they told us, we would
have taken. Compromise our morals.
Yeah.
Because we did, you know, we did tell Eagers to basically kick rocks because of our morals. Minus that, I think we would have been fucking all in. We would have been excited.
100%. I feel like at that point, everything they would have told us, we would have taken as 100% truth.
Absolutely. I agree. I absolutely agree.
We'd have been like, yep.
We know.
Yeah.
Aliens, we know.
Aliens live in a shoebox underneath Capitol Hill. We'd be like, fuck. You know, like, would have bought in. But now,
I agree.
And I feel like they pick certain people. They pick people with massive platforms, and whether, like you said, it's either you're knowingly on the payroll or you're ignorant that you're on the payroll and you're not getting paid because you don't know any better.
Yeah.
You know, it's
to be fair, I think that would have been us.
It's exceptionally gullible people, which is sad that they do this, but we know that's the kind of their MO, or it's people that can be bought out.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Which is almost like, realistically, is almost everybody.
Yeah. Eventually,
almost everybody has.
If they can't write you a check, they can threaten things that you love to the point to where you're like, okay, we'll play ball.
Yep. 100%.
Which sucks.
100%. It does suck, but that's just the name of the game, unfortunately.
I kind of want to watch it now. I kind of want to watch it now.
I mean, thinking back on it, you know, reading what I wrote, had I not been writing, I probably would have been less cynical. And like I said, if they just should have focused on the scientist aspect of it, that was fascinating as fuck. Lou, no disrespect, you could have been taken out of it. That would have been great. If you just would have been more focused on the scientist side of it, I think it would have been fucking awesome. Like, it really would have been awesome. I think it's worth the watch. It was well done. I'm not trying to disrespect it in any way, shape, or form. This is just honest thoughts and gripes. Gripes from a little, like, not quite an OG, but someone who's becoming an OG in the you know, paranormal world.
We look through it through a different lens.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. For newbies, this is probably a bombshell for them.
Yeah. It's going to be a heavy hitter for people that aren't necessary. People that are just getting interested in the phenomena.
Yeah.
I almost feel like that's what it was created for. You know,
I agree.
Maybe it wasn't marketed as well as they should have. If that was the main purpose.
Yeah. I think that's what they stated on Rogan and stuff, is that they want this to be like the kickoff.
If this gets the ball rolling,
that's what they want.
Then good.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean, no disrespect at all. It's just, I don't know. It's like you said, we look at it through a little bit different lens than most people would. I think it's the best way to put it, to be honest.
Yeah. You got me intrigued. You make me want to watch it, though.
It's good, man. Like, I shouldn't have been so cynical. It is good. Like, I think it's worth the watch. You know, especially listening to the scientists talk about it.
Because, like,
it was fascinating.
Disclosure to me and you is going to be different to disclosure with, you know, the guy we work with, or, you know, the your neighbor next door. It's going to be like the context of that term is going to be different for us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Vastly different.
And probably for a lot of listeners, because we're all, like, especially in the holocult, we're all on the same page here. We're all pretty deep in it.
Yeah. And like we were talking about, like, some of the things that blew our mind were more of the nuances, you know, aspect of, like, the power output and the possibility of time. But, like, I feel like for new people, that's irrelevant to them. They're hearing that fucking UFOs are real, and they're like, this is crazy.
Yeah, they're hearing if you touch a UFO, you're going to be dead in 7 years.
Right. So I think, yeah, I mean, you're right. For us, like, disclosure would have to be evidence.
Land in my front yard and fight me.
I think for you and me, like, that's what it would have. Like, they would have to have not even a, at this point, I don't even know that I would care about seeing video of a UFO because we've already seen it. I would have to see video of a non-human entity in speaking or being there, whatever.
Yard, in my front yard fighting me.
Or that. That's going to convince me real fast.
Yeah. Watch me get my ass beat by a gray alien in my front yard. That's disclosure. That's 100%.
One hell of a way of doing it.
That's 100% irrefutable disclosure is me getting fucking walked like a dog by a gray alien in my front yard. Great. Great.
That'll do it.
That was good. That was good. I had a good time
Wasn't a bad chat.
It did. I'll give him credit. It did make me think about some things that I hadn't thought about before.
Yeah.
Which is what things like these should do.
Agreed.
At the bottom baseline, you know, the bottom of the barrel, this thing should make you think outside of the box. Make your wheels start turning a little bit and want to check it out. I'm going to use my Prime discount. I might have some Prime bucks to check it out. I need to check out David Politis's new one, too.
Oh, yeah, I should probably watch that.
American Sasquatch.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, that was a banger. Anyways, thanks, Holocult. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday. Hope you guys had a good time listening to me and Kyle chit-chat about some kind of disclosure, a little bit of disclosure, the age of disclosure. And yeah, thanks for kicking it. Thanks for choosing us. We appreciate you. So check us out at all our socials. You know the drill. Until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird. And if you are a member of Alphabet Agency and you do want to talk, we're not saying not to send the email. We're just going to assess it with more scrutiny than we would have 3 or 4 years ago. So you can still reach out. It's fine.